Hello, I'm Josh.
And I'm Christy, and you're listening to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast,
where we help you become a family who lives, loves, and leads well. Hello, and welcome back to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Today, we're talking about how to speak to our kids and win their heart.
Yes, because I want to win their heart. I want them to call me when they grow up and move away.
It's one of your fears, right?
It is.
Yeah. And we'll talk.
I just want you to call me. Like, not every day. Well, that'd be great. But, you know.
Yeah.
Want to call me. Please want to call me.
We go into this today, we're gonna make this very biblical in terms of the way that we talk about it. Also ties back to the research, which I love.
I just need you to tell me what to do.
Well, how about I start by telling you what not to do?
Okay.
So
that's helpful too.
So the other night we were just to begin with a story. We were our kids were overtired. They hadn't napped, and that particular day and. You know when your kids are overtired, if you have young children or you had young children, you know when they're overtired. I mean, they're just all over the map. Like, they're just, our kids just get super hyper, running around the house, and they were everywhere. Christy had been with them for most of the day. Their decibels were increased, and it was bedtime. And I was kind of in charge of getting them ready for bed, just to kind of give you the mental image. Christy's in the laundry room throwing some laundry in. I'm outside the laundry room trying to corral these two monkeys, and monkey/leopards. If you could put, like, marry a monkey and a leopard, like bouncing around and still running super fast, like that's what you can imagine these two were doing.
And it's actually really true.
And they're super loud. And so all of a sudden, and I hope I'm not putting you out here, but Christy just gets overwhelmed. It's like, as you describe it, my adrenals, right? Your adrenals were overwhelmed, right? And so she just goes and just raises her voice higher than the decibels that our children were at, and then points it at me and says, "Are you going to do something about these kids? Like, are you going to get them to listen?"
Yes. It was literally one of those days when you know, you've parented all day. And it's been fight after fight. And you're so good in the morning. Like, you have so much patience and you're so calm and you've got it not under control, but you're under control. And by the end of the day, like, there are days where I literally am like, I am done being a parent now. It's your turn.
And it was that day.
It was that day.
And
I would rather fold laundry. I would way rather fold laundry.
And that's what you were doing. That's what you were trying to do. Well, Christy's yelling at me louder than the kids are yelling, and I get sensory overload. I don't like loud music that much. It just overwhelms me. And if you can imagine, I was completely in sensory overload, and I yelled loudly.
Did.
I yelled very loudly. And
I've actually never heard you do that ever.
Like, I yelled so that I could just get everybody to stop. And it was like one of those moments where I was like, oh my gosh. And of course, our son's standing there and he's about ready to cry because he's never heard daddy yell that loudly. And so I spend the next like 10 or 15 minutes on my knees, sitting with the kids and with Christy, apologizing for the way that I acted and was face to face. I was at their eye level. I was apologizing and explaining to them kind of what happened. And I think that's the key here as we talk about this today, is when we talk about speaking to our kids to win their heart, that we're on their level. Mm. That there's something about, you know, you hear scientists talk about that our eyes are windows into our soul. And Matthew describes it as our eyes being the light of our body. That when you're face to face, And you're with your children, in that eye to eye contact, it's powerful.
Wow.
And using that as a way to win their heart.
So that's all I have to do?
Well, that's not all you have to do.
Oh.
But that's the principle.
Start.
That's if you can imagine if there's a way to think about,
okay,
from a word picture perspective,
yeah,
in the ways that we talk to our kids, it's getting on their level. It's getting in that eye level. And there's a number of different ways. We're going to talk about it. There's five different ways that we talk to our kids, or five different scenarios where we talk to our kids. And the first one we're going to talk about is when they're in their anxiety, when they're anxious. And the idea here, and I talked about being biblical with this, we go to Philippians chapter 4. And I've mentioned this in the past on other podcasts, but I just love the idea of Paul being a neuroscientist, and just that when we're anxious, we're supposed to go to God in prayer, and that his peace calms our brain. And it's not until that happens, then in the next verse, he says, therefore, think upon things that are praiseworthy and excellent and noble and true and holy. Like, we can't think, though, when we're overwhelmed and we're anxious. And the same is to be said for our kids as well. And when our kids, I'll just give you an example here. For instance, our son, who is 4, has always had trouble going to bed at night, right? I mean, he doesn't have trouble. It's not like this big fight or anything like that. But there's definitely within him a sense of anxiety.
Yeah.
And before I will leave his room, he'll say, Daddy, what are you going to do? And I'll tell him, I'm going to go downstairs, help mommy clean up the kitchen or whatever that looks like. And he'll say, then what are you going to do? Yeah. And then what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, then what? Until I get to a point where I say I'm going to bed. And every single night, the same routine is repeated. And he knows exactly each night is going to be the same. But what he wants to know is, because I'll go downstairs, and so there's a separation between him being upstairs and me being downstairs. He wants to know that I'm still going to be there, that he's looking for my presence. Mm-hmm. He's looking for our presence. And for a while, and still to this day, there's sometimes where he'll come downstairs, even after he's supposed to be in bed, just to make sure. Just to make sure we're still there. And rather than setting a consequence for that, for instance, it's important to reinforce he needs to be in bed, but to calm his anxiety that we're there. And that's what's important, is that we're becoming students of what's really going on underneath his brain. That he's really, that he's calm, that he understands our presence is there, and that we can calm that anxiety in that moment, and that it's not pure disobedience. It's not that he just doesn't want to go to bed. It's there's a pure anxiety there.
Right. And so by knowing that about our kids, what you're saying is, by knowing what makes them anxious and knowing and speaking to them in ways that help calm their anxiety. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's a way we can win their heart.
Yeah. And getting on that eye level. I mean, it's becoming a student of your child. It's literally the golden rule with the word understand. In order to be understood, we must first understand.
Because, you know, it's interesting when you're talking about that. I mean, whereas if our daughter gets out of bed, she gets disciplined. Because she's not afraid of us leaving her.
No, it's not. Yeah. Hers is disobedience.
Yes. Because hers is just blatant. This is not out of fear. This is
out of disobedience.
Just pure disobedience.
And to take this to the teenage level. So if you're a parent of teenagers listening today, I remember working with a dad, and he had a daughter who had come home, and she wanted, 14 years old, and she wanted to go to a Friday night football game, and her dad said no. And she looked at him and she said, Dad, I hate you. And she slammed the door and she went up to her room. And in that moment, okay, there's a number of different ways that we as parents could look at that. We could look at immediately the disobedience. And I think a lot of us, if we're listening, are going, okay, there's no way my child's going to talk to me that way.
Yeah,
and
that's so angry.
Right. And that's the first thing we think of, is don't you ever speak to me that way. And so we punish what's really going, we punish her and punish her behavior in the moment and say, no, you're not going to that Friday night football game, and I'm taking your phone for a month, and go to your room and don't come out until I tell you, right? It's like this, we're going to punish that. The other way that we could do that is we could dismiss it and just go, it's just a Friday night football game. Who cares?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Or you could just be like, don't be mad at me, right? We're dismissing, or we're minimizing the emotion that she's feeling. We're not really getting underneath that anxiety.
Right. We're just dealing with the misbehavior.
We're dealing with the misbehavior. What that dad found out about his daughter was that she had been rejected by a group of friends that entire school year. For the first couple months of the school year, she would see them posting on Snapchat and Instagram pictures of them hanging out without her. And this was the first night that they invited her to be a part of something. And her dad said no. And so,
doesn't that change the whole dynamic? The the way you think about the whole thing.
Speaking to our kids to win their heart. And so when we and so let's go to the next one, because this leads to the next one. Because
but wait, before you move on, that's like whoa, hold on. So for that dad, I mean, because I think the average parent, which I am, would be so angry over that disrespect, because it's so disrespectful how she responded.
Absolutely.
That, like, that is what we harp on, that you mm-hmm. will respect me. You will never speak to me that way again. But what did that dad do to find out what was really going on?
Yeah, and that's a great question. I mean, he was able to get on her level, get on that eye level, and ask, honey, what is it about that Friday night football game that matters to you so much? What is so important about it? And cool. And that's what opened her up to be able to tell him that that was what was going on.
Wow.
And for them to have that conversation. Now, granted, they had been working on this relationship for a while, and I had been meeting with them and that kind of thing. So that's what led to this. But as we go into the next one, we speak to our kids in their anxiety, but then we also have to speak to them in their discipline. Because we have to deal with that disrespect. We have to deal with that talking back and the slamming the doors, right? That's the behavior.
Exactly.
So meeting with them in our anxiety, and then also how do we speak to them in their discipline? And again, I'm going to go to Ephesians 6 here. Ephesians 6 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, right? The way that we provoke our children to anger is to not hear. It's to not understand. It's to not seek that underlying motivation. So we punish, we push, and just it distances our heart from them. But it says, instead, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What I love about this verse is in that passage, it basically means the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It basically means to bring them up in such a way that it means counsel. It's like we're counseling our kids.
Wow.
Like and what it's doing is it places their mind. This is the actual quote of the definition of that word in the Greek, is placing the mind in a proper place. Placing their mind, helping them place their mind. So go back to the anxiety.
Wow.
They're overwhelmed. They're so what we're doing is we're coming alongside them. I love the paraphrase of this in the Message version. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master.
Oh, I love that.
Like when we get on their level, their eye level, and we get with them, we can become counselors to our children in their misbehavior. And what that means is we can then calm their brains enough for them to help them problem solve and find a solution that's honoring to God.
I love that.
But when we're all anxious and we're all overwhelmed, it's impossible to do that.
Exactly.
And when our kids are anxious and overwhelmed, it's impossible to do that. So what we're doing is we're trying to find the way to be able to meet with our kids and get on their level, eye level, to talk to them in their discipline.
So like really what it is, which we've talked about before, it's grace and truth, really. It's leading in grace.
And then following up in truth.
And then following up
in truth. It's your kids knowing that you love them unconditionally and with unmerited favor. That there is nothing they can do that would separate your love for them. And meeting them there first, and then, but also not leaving them there.
Yes.
Showing them that you love them enough to not leave them in
exactly.
their behavior. Just a quick example of this with a younger, a couple weeks ago, it was the first time I had caught our son lying. And I had, it was a bedtime routine. And I said to him, I said, buddy, he brushed his teeth and he'd come into the room and we were laying down, getting ready to pray. And I said, buddy, did you go potty? And he looked at me and he said, yes. And I knew he hadn't. And I said, look at me in the eye and tell me you went to the potty. Again, eye level.
I love potty.
And he looked at me and he said, I didn't, daddy. And I got so angry in that moment. But what I realized was he didn't understand what lying was.
Huh.
He has no, like, I mean, this is the first time he's being introduced to what it means to lie.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing it to me, but consciously thinking of it, he needs to learn a lesson here.
Yeah.
And so as angry as I was able to, he went potty, he came back, and I got down on my knees. I sat him on the bed and I got with him face to face. And I said, buddy, this is called a lie. And we tell the truth. In this home, we tell the truth because God is truth. And again, I know that he's not going to completely get that. It wasn't like this long lecture.
Yeah.
But he got in that moment grace. But what I told him, I remember vividly telling him this, and I've told him every time he's had any type of misbehavior since, as I looked him in the eye, and I just said, buddy, I love you too much to let you act that way.
I love that line.
I love you too much to let you act that way. And I think that is how we speak in discipline, by showing love in kind of like one sentence.
Exactly. And, but still winning our child's heart through it.
Yeah.
Not right. not losing them or ruining the relationship.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So what's another way that we can win our child's heart?
Yeah. So
we
those are the two heavy ones in anxiety and in discipline.
Yeah.
Now let's start to come out and into the fun, right? So speaking to them in their interests.
Oh, okay.
So Proverbs 22:6 says to train a child or train a youth in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of misconceptions about this verse that, you know, that it's a promise and it's not a promise. It's a proverb.
Exactly. Yes,
so,
exactly.
So we're not going to go into all the issues with that verse, but generally speaking.
Or how it's misapplied.
Or how it's misapplied. Yeah. So, but the primary way that this is applied, in the Hebrew grammar, it permits either interpretation, either that our children go through certain stages of life and that we raise them in the way they should go by their personality, by their temperament or responses or stages in life. Or the other hand, it could mean in the way in which he ought to go, in which the way he should go,
like,
versus the way he would go if he followed his sinful heart.
Got it.
Right,
the Lord's will for his life.
Yeah, and so we like a lot of Hebrew grammar believes that it's the latter that we need to take that latter view, because that's what the context of the verse is that we need to raise our kids in the way they should go, not in
the way that God has,
the way God would want them to go by following His commands. But there's some room for interpretation there in terms of following who they are, and I think if we have multiple kids, you understand that each child is different. Mm-hmm. And so I love what my friend Frank has done. His daughter is, she came home one day and she's just like, Dad, I hate school. I hate math. I hate school. And he was seeing her changing her behavior because she was so focused on what she was hating about school that she wasn't focused on what she loved about school and what she did well. Mm-hmm. And so one day he sat her down and he said, listen, he said, here's a new role for you. This is a new role for you. He said, I want you to make sure that because what you do well is you make people laugh. You bring joy to other people's lives. He said, so every day from here on out, I'm going to ask you, who did you make laugh at school today and how? And so,
that's so cool.
So he switched it and he said, listen, I'd rather my daughter learn how to live out of her strengths and be in the pocket, in her pocket.
Uh-huh.
And so if I had to choose, I'd rather her bring home straight C's from school, but know she's living from her strength of bringing joy to other people.
Isn't that freeing?
And so I have to go, okay, listen.
Oh, I like that.
Because we are all brought up in this thing that our kids have to get good grades and they have to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. And again, good grade. I'm not knocking good grades. I'm not saying that they shouldn't study. What he found is she started liking math class more. She started getting A's. She was doing straight A's.
Wow. When she started focusing on what she does well.
But she started focusing on what she did well, and it changed the
way.
Everything
for her.
Yeah, it changed everything for her. It changed the way she approached it. So in their interest, follow their interest.
Hmm.
I had one mom come up to me after a talk one time, and she said, listen, she said, my son, she said, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? She said, he's rapping.
Oh.
And I said, okay, so he's into rap. Is he engaged in any bad behaviors? Is he hanging out with anybody, you know, that he shouldn't be hanging out with? You know, bad company corrupts good character. She said, no, he's listening to Christian rap music.
Okay.
And I said, okay, then I've got one piece of advice for you. Learn to rap. just learn to rap. And she, her eyes got real big. And because, listen, if we don't become students and take interests, if we don't become students of our children and take interest in what they're interested in, they'll find somebody else who is. We've got to become students of what they love to do and pursue that with them if you really want to win their heart. Otherwise, they're gonna do those interests. They're going to pursue those interests with other people.
And then we wonder why they're spending more time with their friends than with us.
Which is a natural part of being a teenager. But if we're not pursuing them either.
Or a middle schooler or an elementary school kid. But you see why they cling to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So then the next one is in play. In play. How do we speak to our kids in play? And we talk about getting on their eye level. Again, every single one of this is getting on their eye level. I love Proverbs 15:13. A joyful heart brings about a cheerful face. A joyful heart brings about a cheerful face. So in our home, part of it, again, is getting down on their level. And I think for us, especially as parents, we're type A. We like to make sure things are in order in our home, and we're like on time. I'm just going to give a brief example. It's playing with your kids in such a way that you get them to do what you want them to do without it creating a power struggle. So how do we do that? The other night I was putting PJs on Landon, and he was running crazy. I mean, he was running wild. And so I pulled off his pants as he's trying to get away from me. And as I pull his pants, he breaks free and runs through the house. He goes darting through the house. And finally he comes back over and I said, "Okay, dude, listen here. Tonight, what I want you to do is you have to wear jeans to bed." And he looked at me and he just started laughing. And he's just like, "No way." And I was like, "If you don't put those PJ pants on right now, you're going to have to wear jeans to bed tonight." It took the stress out of it, and he got his PJ pants on. And we laughed.
That's awesome.
And it was fun.
Yeah. Because it takes the power out of it.
It takes the power out of it. And you're on their level.
And the anxiety out of it. It just makes it fun.
Speaking of getting on their level, do you remember the night that I threw a dirty diaper?
At
you,
at my face,
at your face, and how fun that was for our kids. Like, we became this dirty. I mean, again, it wasn't a number two; it was a nice soaked up, you know, soiled.
Ew,
number one.
Gross.
But you know, I threw it at you, and the kids just started laughing, and they picked it up, and they saw you and I get into a fight, and we're chasing each other through the house, and they're laughing and giggling, and it became for days after that.
We would
ask our kids, "What was the favorite part of your day?" "When you threw the diaper at mommy." And we're like, "No, that happened like 2 days ago." They're like, "We don't care. It was still the favorite part of our day." Right. And so, but it's that laughter, right? And it's getting on their level.
Yeah.
And entering into that in their world face to face.
How important that is. And I think so many of us just need to bring light into the home and make it not so much about the heaviness of the discipline or the misbehavior, and just start to be more playful.
And have fun and enter into their world. I mean, if they want to play trains or have tea parties or play baseball out back or whatever it is, get into their world. Do what they want to do for at least 15, 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Just get in and play on the floor. Get on their eye level and get down and get dirty and have fun. Number five, we speak to them in their anxiety. We speak to them in their discipline. We speak to them in their interests, and we speak to them in play. But we also have to speak to them, and this is circling all the way back around to the beginning, in our mistakes, when we mess up. And just like when I yelled the other night, I love research shows that repair, it's a word called repair, is the ultimate of relationships. The Bible calls it
forgiveness. Am I right?
Forgiveness, and it tells us to practice it.
A whole lot.
A whole lot.
Wow.
And so in order to win our child's heart, being able to speak to them when we mess up, getting down on their level face to face, their eye level, and apologizing to them for how we messed up and being specific about our offense. Wow. What it does is it shows our children that we're not perfect, and it takes away any type of pressure that we might be putting on them for them to be perfect. And it also shows them how to right their wrongs when they're not.
Yeah, how to respond when they make mistakes.
Yeah.
I love that they literally call it the ultimate of relationships. Like forgiveness. Like that in itself is actually what is the biggest glue that holds us together in our relationships.
And let me just throw out this shameless parenting statistic.
Okay.
Because I love this.
Anything that takes away my shame, I will latch
on to. Research shows that if we are emotionally safe with our kids, that we're, because listen, we're going to yell. Mm-hmm. We're going to react. We're going to do things that we shouldn't, say things that we shouldn't. When we get it right 2 out of 5 times, that's 40% of the time. When we're emotionally safe with our kids, when we're responding to their emotion 2 out of 5 times.
Like getting on their eye level.
Getting on their eye level and connecting with who they are, getting within their emotions, becoming a student of what's going on. If we get it right 40% of the time, we still get the outcomes we're looking for in our kids.
I love that.
So take a deep breath.
I need that.
We don't have to get this right every time. Do we have, you know, these awesome pajama moments and diaper fights and, you know, laughable moments every single night? No, that's not what our house looks like. But these are some examples of nights that we did win and times that we...
Of the 2 of 5.
Of the 2 of 5. Yeah, those are our 2 of 5.
We can give
right?
you lots of examples of the 3 of 5.
Which I did. I gave you one today. How are we doing as parents and talking to our kids? When you think about speaking to your kids to win their heart, it's about getting on their eye level.
Yeah.
And it's about becoming a student of who they really are.
I love it.
I mean, because you think about it, when you're in pain, when you're in stress, you just want somebody to be there. You want someone to know. You don't want to feel shamed or condemned. And so thinking about what you would want as an adult when you're overwhelmed, when you're stressed, what do you want for someone to do? Take that principle and apply it in how we respond to our kids, and you'll win their heart.
For more information and resources, or to connect with us, go to drjoshandchristy.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at Dr. Josh and Christy.
Be sure to head over to iTunes and subscribe to the Dr. Josh and Christy podcast. Write a review. The more positive reviews we get, the more people learn about it. Tell a friend and be sure to send us ideas, thoughts, and questions you may also want us to cover on the podcast.
It's an honor walking alongside you.
We'll see you next week.